Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Oh my gosh, I love that voice so much. Thank you, Dave Solomon. And here we are, right out of the chute. I love this so much. Oh my gosh. Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy takes on a whole different meaning today because we've got energy in the house. This woman that I have on the line right here has done so much in her career and looking pretty no matter how she does it. She is a songwriter. She is a flutist or flautist, she'll correct me, I'm sure, saxophonist extraordinaire, vocalist, band leader. Holy cow, we'll find out what else she's doing. She's a busy gal. I'm talking about Paula Atherton. Girl, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing great.
I'm so glad that you're with me today. I really am. This has been a long time in coming, and thank you for the time that you're giving to me today. We really appreciate that.
Oh, my pleasure. You just have the best personality.
Well, so do you. Oh my! Listen, when I saw you at Burke's Jazz with the rest of the gals in Jazz in Pink, I was floored because the chemistry among you was so intense. And then you came out on stage wearing this little pink and black number, blowing that sax, and I went, oh my God, this is just a rarefied air right here. It was just smoking that night, wasn't it?
It really was, and it was kind of amazing because we didn't really have rehearsal space.
Wow.
Yeah, and people came from all over the country, so we rehearsed twice in hotel rooms, in someone's hotel room, in Gail's hotel room, in somebody else's hotel room. And the drummer was, like, playing drums on the bed, and we ran down the whole show because, as you know, it was between 2 hours, 2 and 2.5 hours long. It was like
a
10-piece band.
Yeah.
So you don't just kind of like throw that all together and everything is fine, you know?
No, and here's the thing. Paula, I have to say, I mean, I know that there was a lot of spontaneity, but that's why I loved that particular night with all of you astoundingly talented ladies on that stage, because you could hear the honesty in people playing. There was improvisation, and that's the mark of greatness. It was great, and people were just that was the talk of the weekend, that particular event.
Well, it really was a huge undertaking. I'm so happy that John Ernesto decided to have the group. And really kudos to Gail for she rehearsed with whoever was in L.A. And they had at least, you know, a skeleton together of how everything was going to go down. And then when we ran the show in the hotel rooms, she even spoke about, you know, staging, you're going to walk on here, I'm going to say this is going to happen. So we had at least an outline. It was like doing a play almost, but with music, you know.
Well, it was just really one of those scenarios where you got to separate the girls from the women. And I was so thrilled. I mean, being a woman of a certain age and having seen some women play through the years and seeing that caliber of talent, it was breathtaking, and it made me want to get to know you so much more. Then I heard so many accolades from our mutual friend, Drew Davidson. So many. He loves you so much.
Oh, he's wonderful.
He really is. He's and you know what? Drew does not fritter away his time anymore. He used to play with everybody, but now he doesn't have to play with just anybody. And he loves playing with you because you just get it so much. Paula, how long has it been since you've been playing? Because it's been a few years. I just love that you're a seasoned veteran.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to say if I could, one more thing about the Jazz in Pink before
Please.
We move on. Would that be all right?
Yeah.
Because something happened that night that I've never seen happen before, and it just completely blew me away.
Wow.
I was, well, I played a tune, I played two tunes for my last CD, Block Party, and, I mean, for my last CD, Groove With Me, rather, and one of the tunes was Block Party, which was the instrumental tune I played saxophone on, and the other tune was something that I sang and then played sax on called There Ain't Nothing. And I noticed that when I was singing There Ain't Nothing, I'm like looking at the crowd and I'm singing and I see a guy in the front row and he's singing along with me. He knew all the words to my song.
Love it. Love it.
And I've just that's why I stopped to talk to him and addressed what was going on, because I had never seen that before, and it just really kind of, it kind of blew me away. It was really cool.
I'm surprised that you hadn't seen that before, because you're going to be getting a lot of that. I mean, now that Enjoy the Ride is out and people are really putting a serious buzz on this, you're going to be finding out that, just like with anything that happens organically, and you've had a pretty organic career, you've had some real wonderful things happen to you. I'm not so sure about the valleys in your career, but I'm pretty sure about the peaks. So, you know, now you've got this amazing, this is your third effort, correct?
Yes, it is.
Yep. And, you know, you've got some folks around you that you feel so comfortable playing with, and you just soar on this. And we get to hear you do your thing on flute. We get to hear your vocals. We get to hear that sax. Not a lot of folks can contribute all three of those things on one album. So I'm just, I have no right to say this in a way, Paula, but I'm so proud of you.
Oh, well, I'll take it.
Okay, good, good. Please take it in the way it was meant to be taken. Are you, like, really excited about Enjoy the Ride?
Yeah, I am. I really am. I signed with this label that has offices in New York and Europe, and they're really wonderful guys. The contact in Europe is working on festivals for 2013 in Europe.
Ooh.
For me. Yeah, which Great. Is going to be really wonderful because, you know, the whole smooth jazz thing is just starting in Europe now. It's like a new thing there.
Hmm.
Over the past couple of years, yeah. Yeah, so that's going to be really fun. And I'm a little bit less hands-on with this particular recording, so it gives me a little bit more time to do things that I have to do as an artist. My last release, I had a really great distribution deal, but I was actually the label.
Right,
so
okay. Understood.
I had to wear all the hats. All the hats,
yes.
I got to wear. Yes.
Yeah.
Too many hats.
Yeah, it does get to be a situation where you're exhausted before your day even starts when you're wearing all those hats, isn't it?
Yeah, you know what goes into it, you know, with the radio promo and trying to keep track of what's going on with the dates, and, you know, there's just so many things that have to be taken care of. It was a wonderful experience for me. I set up my own record company. I was working with Stuart Love and Eric Foss at Multimedia, Innovative Multimedia, and, you know, these guys really showed me how to do it, and it was a great experience, but really time-consuming, you know?
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure. And I'm glad that you have the opportunity to get freed up, because that lends itself to you exploring more of your artistry, which is what you want. I mean, you just are so multifaceted, and, gosh, people who are creative the way you are also need to sleep. So,
yeah, you know, I really get very wound up from everything sometimes, and I just can't, because I can't turn my brain off, you know.
Yeah, I'll bet you that's the case. Oh, my gosh. Well, tell me about, from, like, soup to nuts, when did you first start Enjoy the Ride, and when did it end? When did you put a wrap on what the CD was about? Because that's pretty exciting, that whole process.
This particular project I wrote in a pretty short period of time. So I think it sounds much more like, I don't know how to explain it. It sounds like one project. It sounds like very related and intertwined. Not that Groove With Me doesn't. I think Groove With Me makes sense, But Groove With Me was just recorded over a certain number of years, and this particular recording probably like 2 years at the most, a year and a half maybe. Between the time that I did the first song, like the first couple songs were probably Let It Be and Can't Get You Out of My Mind, and the last ones were probably Turn It Up and I Won't Give Up. And I really, you know, got into the writing and got it going after I finally finished all the promo on the last record, which went, the Groove With Me was released in June 09, and we did a few singles in contemporary jazz and in the smooth jazz market, and then we went to adult contemporary. We did an AC single and charted at number 9. Yeah, we charted at number 9 on FMQB with 899 spins with Send Down an Angel.
How about that?
Yeah, I was on the chart with like John Mayer and Lady Antebellum and a couple other people. I was like, whoa, look at that.
And you know what? When that comes as a surprise, wow! You know, you take stock in that, and you just wonder what the next shoe is that's going to drop. Because not all the shoes that drop are bad ones. Sometimes they're really good ones.
Yeah.
That is so cool.
Yeah,
that's and you know what? I gotta say, with this particular CD, because I've got the hard copy in my hand, and thank you very much for sending me the other through email. So it's good to have the hard copy so I can see all the credits involved in this and then all the song titles in front of me. You know, the initial reaction on hearing this CD, I am so intrigued, and I've got to ask you questions because I love Herbie. I love Herbie, and I love Rice and Beans, and I really like I Won't Give Up. That's an anthem. You know that. That's a wonderful song. Each of these tunes has a special little story, but Herbie is the one I wanted to ask you about initially because that just tickled me so much. I love it.
So where do you think that's born out of? Let me just ask you. Where do you think that's coming from, that song?
You know what? My first reaction, and why I'm smiling now, my first reaction, Paula, is that I'm way older than you. I'm way older than most people. So I remember a movie back in the day talking about Herbie the Car. So
Herbie the Car?
Herbie the Car.
C-A-R,
now,
like beep beep car?
Like beep beep car. Now, I know that it probably has something more profound to do with Herbie Mann. There you go.
Oh, okay. Now you're making a right turn.
Right.
Right.
Or Herbie Hancock.
Well, Herbie Hancock I love, but no, it's yeah, it's a tribute to Herbie Mann. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is. I love that kind of, you know, flute a go go type, you know, 60s type music, like
yes.
You know, heard more recently in Austin Powers movies, you know.
Oh yeah, right.
Yeah, like the boogaloo kind of flute type stuff. So I always wanted to write something like that, and I was definitely inspired by Memphis Underground, you know, like that sort of thing, which was one of Herbie Mann's more famous tunes.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it doesn't really quote it in any way. It's just kind of inspired by it. And then the solo section kind of takes it to another place. Like it's just like pretty much a two-chord vamp through the body of the song, and then the solo section starts out with that two-chord vamp, and then only the musicians will get this. It's a cycle of force through the rest of it, so it kind of takes it to harmonically another place, like a place that no Herbie Mann tunes really went to, but it's a tribute to him just the same.
Well, it's a multi-layered groove, is what I would like to classify it as. And it's real reminiscent of hearing one of the great AM stations back in Philly when I was growing up. We had WIP that was kicking it with everything from jazz to pop to elements of country and some, we didn't even know to call it funk because it really wasn't called funk then, but it was that light and airy, sometimes breezy, sometimes world vision stuff that you heard in the James Bond movies. just really, really awesome stuff. And I saw an interview with you, Paula, and I was so tickled because you were talking about your love of some of that 60s music. And one of the songs that you cited that was an inspiration, I'm holding off after our interview to play because you cited a particular group. And I thought, I'm just going to dig around for that until I find it. So we have a little surprise coming up for you at the end of this session here.
Woo!
Yeah, love that. So tell me, when did it click to you as you were growing up that you wanted to make this your life, music?
It wasn't something that, like, I woke up one day and I decided. I think that most musicians probably will agree with me. It chooses you.
Oh,
you don't
yeah.
choose it.
Right.
Because it's not really like an easy life or a life that's, you know, scripted, you know, a person that has maybe a regular day job. Everything is more kind of like cut and dry. I'm going to work at this company for a certain number of years, blah, 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 then I retire. And it's so not that, that you really, there's no in between. You got to really, like, love it and want it. You can't be halfway with it. So it's just something that you gravitate towards. If you like really love it, you like I did. I went after it and I studied, you know, music and practiced a lot and still do. Try to learn all the time. I think if you're open, you can learn your whole life, and that's really what makes you grow and what makes it exciting.
Well, you were studying voice and you were gravitating to flute at 9. When did you want to make that transition? What interested you about the saxophone?
I was learning about being able to take a solo, like improvising in flute. Just didn't have all the colors that I needed to be able to express myself. So, and then I heard Charlie Parker, and that was it. I was
oh, okay.
Whoa.
Understood. Yeah.
That kind of did it. I was like, all right, so now I got to learn what this is and how I can get some of that, because that's just, wow. Just amazing.
Yeah. It just, when you go back and see what those artists did back then and realize the impact that they still have, isn't that astounding?
Well, you know, artists like Charlie Parker, Louis Armstrong, Billie Holiday, Bill Evans, Lenny Tristano, you know, all these people that really, Miles Davis, I mean, there's so many. I'll leave just as many as I named. I'll leave out many more. I mean, I think if you want to play an instrument or sing, you have to go back and see what everybody did that played that instrument did with it, you know. And Charlie Parker was certainly one of the pioneers, not just with saxophone, but with jazz. You know, changed the way that people think about and play jazz forever.
That's interesting that you would say that, that if you want to learn an instrument, then you go back to who did it before you. I don't think anybody's ever said that, Paula. That's a really interesting thing to say, and that's really generous, because there are many artists who get involved with the in-love quality that they have of their own music that they don't think that they need to learn. so much. But it's more than that. It's more than learning. It's about the feel that certain artists have with a saxophone in their hands. Because Charlie Parker was different than Hank Mobley. Hank Mobley was different from John Coltrane, and on, you know?
Yeah, well, the people that think that they don't have to learn anything, they're actually in good shape because, you know what, they're not learning anything. If they think they already know it, then sorry, but you know, they're not going to learn anything. It's impossible for one person to know everything, and it's almost like a gift that you can be open and learn and grow your whole life. Look at somebody like Herbie Hancock. He's constantly reinventing himself.
Oh, truly, yeah. And as soon as you have him figured out, you know, he comes out with a group of people that he plays with, and you go, what?
Right.
It's great.
Yeah, and that's what it is. I mean, as an improvising musician, that's your job. You're supposed to always be creating and thinking about different ways to create. So the more that I learn, the more I feel like I don't know anything.
Oh, bless your heart. No, you have learned a few lessons.
Really.
Well, that's beautiful. And we were just talking about this. The other show that I do is Cool Jazz Conversations on Monday night. So we just had a show last night, and we had Al DeGregoris, another New Yorker. Thank you very much. And Al plays keyboard so well. And you talk about some studying. He went to Hofstra, and he got a degree in music merchandising, but that wasn't enough. He's a juris doctor, so he knows all about law, and he just is a really humble guy. And we were talking about humility. You have that. When a person, an artist, is noteworthy because of their talent, and then you combine their humility, these are the folks that seem to be more honest with their music. So always keep that. Always be that little prince, that spirit inside of you that just looks at the world as if you're a perennial student, you know?
Well, that's the secret right there.
Yeah.
That's it.
It is.
That's the key to creativity, and it's the key to learning, you know, just being a student, if you will, or, you know, the way a child would look at things with wonder.
Exactly right. And I got that from you that night when I saw you, because I had never seen you play before. Now I'm interested in anything that you do in the way of your own show. And speaking of which, tell me about this. This is so cool. Tell me about that experience as band leader for the Lifetime's Network's Girls Night Out. That must have been a trip and a half, huh?
Yeah, it really was. It was funny because I didn't select the band. I was kind of added as the last person. But I was the band director, and I wrote most of the walk-on cues. And what it was a show on the Lifetime Network, and it was all female comedians, and the band was all women. So we played all the walk-on music and, you know, going to commercials and stuff like that. During the commercials we'd play. And it was really fun. Judy Tenuta was on.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Patty Austin was on as one of the hosts.
Awesome.
Geraldine Ferraro. There was it was all women. It was it was fun. It was really fun. It was a great experience for me.
So the Geraldine Ferraro scenario, is that how you got to get the hookup with Bill and Hillary Clinton? Because you've played for them. That's also a trip for me to think about.
Yeah, no, that was actually through different things.
Okay.
Hillary, I got hired to play a couple of her fundraisers for her presidential campaign. And one of them was out at Ron Perlman's, and one of them was out
wow.
in the estate in the Hamptons. Yeah, so the first one was at this estate in the Hamptons, and it was it was a dinner. It was very informal. It was just set up in this really, this person's really beautiful home on the estate in the backyard. And Seinfeld was there. I mean, all these people were there. And I'm just playing there with a little five-piece band in the backyard and brought my camera hoping to get a picture, you know. And the whole time, whenever, like, especially Bill is, like, around, people follow him. Like, this is crowd following him constantly, you know. So the first thing that happens is we get a break, and I go in the house, and I'm sitting there, and no one from the band is there, and I'm wondering why. And one of the guys walks in for the band and says, "Wow, that was really nice what the president said about you." I was like, What? He said, "Yeah, the president, he's making a speech, and he was just talking about you." I'm like, What are you talking about? He said, yeah. I said, "Well, what did he say?" He said, "Oh," he said, "something about, like, you know, it's really nice to see a woman, like, leading a band and singing and playing so well." I don't know. He said something like that. I was like, I'm sitting here like a dope in the house, and the rest of the band's out there listening to his speech, which I didn't even realize he was making because I would have stayed, and he's, like, talking about me. I completely missed it.
That's,
and
well,
it was funny. It was like a Seinfeld episode, complete with Seinfeld actually there.
Right. That's awesome. It's a shame that you missed what he said, but the fact that he said it meant everything. Wow.
So then they're leaving, and I'm standing there going, "Oh, you know, I missed what he said. Now he's leaving. I didn't get a picture." So they were walking up the stairs, and for some reason they just turned around and walked back up to the stage. And they both came on the stage to thank us and say hello. And the photographer took pictures, so I got some pictures with both of them. And
oh, wonderful.
So Bill walks up to me and he goes, "So what kind of mouthpiece are you playing there on the saxophone?" I said, "Oh, I finally got to meet you, and we're going to talk reeds and mouthpieces." "Okay." And then he started to tell me that he actually got a saxophone made by, I forget the person's first name, but their last name was Sax, the person that developed the saxophone.
Whoa.
Adolf Sax, maybe? Yeah, and he said,
"Yes, that's right.
I'm having trouble." Yeah, is that right?
Yes, Adolf.
I don't even know what year the thing is from, and he said, "I'm having trouble finding the B-flat, but it's pretty fun playing." I was, like, cracking up, you know.
That is a trip. Wow.
Yeah, it was a total trip. It was a total trip. So I was just laughing in the car the whole way home from there and just wondering when I was going to actually see the pictures, you know. And I did get them. They're on some of my websites.
That's a very cool story because, you know, you hesitate to ask anything about Bill Clinton when there is a beautiful woman involved. And I thought, you know what? I wonder if he's going to... you were going to go into the house, and then Bill was going to come into the house and say, "So, what's going on?"
The funny thing was, the second time I played for Hillary, like, actually, I got asked back after the first time they requested me. So we're playing on Ron Perlman's estate out in the Hamptons in his theater. And so Bill and Hillary walk in at the same time. And they actually told me that he might jam with us, that he was going to bring his horn. And that Ron Perlman was going to play drums. They had a drum set set up, but it turned out, he walked in and he waved at me. And so the guys in the band are like, "Oh, so Bill gives you toodles now. He waves at you, huh?"
Of course.
Of course. You know, I said, "Of course. We go, you know, we go
way
back."
We go way back.
So he walked by, and I'm like, "So did you bring your horn?" He goes, "Nah, I was a little busy." I didn't mind bringing it. I was really hoping for that shot, you know. With us.
Oh, yeah. Hey, it could still happen, you know.
Well, yeah, one of these days, you never know. It could happen. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Oh, that's wonderful. I love to hear those kinds of positive stories. Well, I'm chomping at the bit. I can't wait to play something. Here's what I have. I did a whole bunch of songs. I've got Try It Again, Sassy Strut, Rice and Beans, Herbie, the two versions of Can't Get You Out of My Mind. What would you like us to hear right now?
Well, I think that my friend Cindy Bradley might be listening. So if she is,
Rice and Beans?
Why don't you play Rice and Beans? And I just want to congratulate her for being number one on smoothjazz.com today, Cindy. Miss
God
number
bless
one.
You, girl. Wow, good for Cindy. Bless her heart.
She is something else, and I can imagine that the two of you and your conversations ought to be a fly on the wall, because I know she's on the CD, and you and she had a particularly good chemistry that night at Burke's. So I'm really glad that she's a part of this project, because, you know, Cindy, any time that she has anything to do with a project, it's always a good vibe.
Yeah, she's a blast. She's a lot of fun, and she's playing on Rice and Beans with me, and she's on I Won't Give Up also.
Oh, that's right, because there was two tracks listed. Let's do Rice and Beans, and this is Paula Atherton spending some time with us. We're so tickled, from the brand-new, really exciting project called Enjoy the Ride on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Woohoo!
Thank you.
Paula Atherton, I just love that song. I really do. What a cool feel. Oh, my God. If you don't get up and move, something's wrong with you when you hear that song.
It's fun.
Rice fun and song. Beans. And tell me a little bit about that, because that's not your standard title for a song. So I just love any little snippets of why valued artists name their song so. So I'm curious.
Actually, my husband came up with that one.
Did he?
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. Is that his favorite food?
Well, he's half Spanish, so yes, that's one of his favorite foods. I guess combination of rice and beans, and you know, being a Latin type influence song, Latin type groove. I didn't really have a name for it yet, and he came up with that. I thought it was pretty cute, so we went with that.
And it's so funny. Here we were. There was a nice assortment of friends at Ram's Head in Annapolis on Sunday to see Ken Navarro playing his acoustic set. And on the menu there, and I laughed out loud because it's rice and beans, and I thought about you.
You see, the things that make you think about me, aren't they silly?
Isn't that funny? But I just, the groove is so infectious, and the playing is so cool, and it's just indicative of Enjoy the Ride. And when you said earlier that you got this together pretty quickly, did you have tunes in your head that were stored up, or did you just feel like you were on a real creative bent, and they came out fairly fast?
I go through these periods, I'm sure most people that write do, where, you know, you're on a roll and you get a bunch of ideas, and I try to, you know, I'll store them, I'll scribble it on manuscript paper, or I'll grab my iPhone and sing something into it, or, you know, wherever I could store it real quick where I won't forget it. And like I said before, this was done in a pretty short period of time. So, yeah, I was getting the ideas pretty quickly. Sassy Strut, I didn't write, though. Nick Cullione wrote that.
Right. Yep, I know, and I love that. That's got a groove, too, and we're going to get to that because I know that's one of those songs that you just want to show off.
That's actually going to be the first single.
That's wonderful. That's good to hear. Nick is a doll, isn't he?
You know, it's really funny. Nick and I have been like phone pals for a couple of years now, and we've never met.
Oh, let me tell you something. When you meet him, Paula, you are going to think that you've always known him.
Yeah, well, that's kind of like how you feel when you speak to him, right?
Yes. And the thing is, you know, he's the kind of person who is never intrusive about this, because sometimes you meet people and they're a little too touchy when you meet them, but he is just so genuinely warm. And when his hand takes over your hand, or he puts his hand on your shoulder, it just comes from such a place of love. He really, because of all those years helping those kids, and he'll always do that for as long as he has breath, it just has infused him with an extra measure of love. So,
yes.
You know, I sound like a new agey person talking about this, but you know what I mean. Woo!
No, I know,
really,
and
like
I know
him.
When I'm going to meet him, actually. He's playing in New York out at the Vineyards out on Long Island August 19th.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful.
Him and Matt are doing a concert together out there, so I'm going to come out there for the concert.
Oh, that'll be really good. You're talking about Matt Marshak, right?
Yes.
Okay, that's wonderful. Good to know. So I'll be thinking about you when you do that date, and the next day I know that you'll probably post something or write something waxing poetic about meeting Nick Cullione.
Yeah, he asked me to sit in, so we're going to play something together. I'm not sure what.
That's wonderful. Good to hear that. So here's another question. After having played Rice and Beans and knowing that you spent in your cool career, a little bit of time with Tito Puente. Tell me about that. I just love that. When he was among us, there was a fire in the universe that was just catching. You just caught that Tito Puente fever. How did you get to meet him?
Actually, there was an all-female big band that I used to play in, this woman, Kit McClure, and we did a concert at Carnegie Hall and opened for Tito Puente.
Oh, my God, Carnegie Hall, that's awesome. That's probably one of those memories that you're going to keep with you always.
Yeah, it's one of those places that you're like, wow, I'm in Carnegie Hall.
I know. Golly. What are some of the highlights of this musical journey that you've been on? Tell me some of the there's so many events that have transpired and so many experiences you've had. And, you know, having done this or that with Michael Bolton and Hank Jones and Najee and the Clintons, what are some of those highlights that you think right off the top of your head?
This is one thing that was really cool. This friend of mine was really good friends with George Benson, and George was, before he moved from New Jersey, he was having a pool party at his house. So my friend, who's a drummer, called me up and said, listen, I want to invite you to the pool party over at George's house. I was like, really? He said, yeah, you know, bring your horns and stuff, you know, you sit in, blah, blah, blah. I was like, okay. So I got the directions and stuff, and I drove there, and I'm, like, sitting outside George's house on my cell phone, like, calling my friend, because I didn't want to just walk in the backyard by myself, because I was, like, a little bit intimidated, you know? So I'm calling my friend, and he's not answering the phone. I'm like, great, great, great. Well, I'm not going to just sit in my car and not go into the backyard, so I walked in the backyard, and everybody was like, hey, man, what's happening? You want a drink? People were jumping in the pool. It was just totally, like, laid back, and, you know, it was just completely relaxed, and all kinds of people were playing. I think Mark Whitfield was there. You know, just crazy musicians were there, all just, like, jamming and jumping in the pool. And so I got my instruments out. I was going to go up at some point, but I didn't know when. And people started yelling stuff out at George, like, hey, George, go up and play. Come on. Play Breathing, do this Masquerade. So I see my friend get up and get on the drums, and I see George going towards the stage, and I thought to myself, get up and go now.
Wow.
So I did. So I went up there, and I played Breathing and this Masquerade with George, and we played Straight No Chaser, which is a Thelonious Monk blues, and
he and
I traded fours back and forth.
Oh,
yeah.
Boy!
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Oh, my gosh.
And John Hicks was playing piano, used to play for Betty Carter. And, yeah, it was, I have pictures of that, too, on my website. Yeah, so I got to play those tunes with George Benson, so that was all right.
And thank God you listened to that voice inside your head say, get up now.
Well, you know, sometimes you're not in the most comfortable of situations, you know, you just have to make decisions, and, you know, I didn't want to think the next day, like, oh, you're such a chicken, you sat outside in your car in front of George Benson's house, and you never went in,
that wasn't
going to happen,
right.
And then I didn't want to be like, well, you went to the pool party, but you just sat there, like, you know, a jerk, and you never played or anything, so that wasn't going to happen. So.
Yep. And you know what? Now that you brought that up, this bears mentioning, because so many folks, whether they're local or regional or national or international, they got to be national or international because of decisions like that. You can't lay back when the opportunity presents itself. When you have a gift that's offered, you have to run with the gift. I'll never forget somebody that I used to work with in a pretty high-profile radio station. But, you know, like everybody else, in the radio station, he needed to make the next step. So it was back in the day when Oprah Winfrey was in Baltimore and she got the offer to come to Chicago. So there was a carrot being dangled in front of this guy who was working with us that indicated that maybe there was some interest in him joining her. And this is what he said, and I'll never forget it, Paula. He said, "She knows where to find me if she wants me."
Uh-huh.
So I'm thinking to myself, oh, no, uh-uh. You should have just taken that and run with it. You heard about the interest being there. You should have gotten on the phone and should have said to her, "I'm here. Where can I meet you to talk about this further?" You know, this sometimes when an artist, I've seen it happen so much, and you've probably seen it too, there is this misplaced pride that kind of negates any opportunity that could come to you because you didn't make the move.
Right. Yeah, you know, the only thing on that person's mind, especially someone like Oprah, I think she has a couple things on her mind. That could be wrong.
Yeah, right. 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 Yeah.
You know.
And so many wonderful artists are out there, and they could have a whole lot more attention if they did what you just did. I'm going to remember this conversation about you getting up and thinking to yourself, there's no time like the present. You can't waste this moment. There have been a lot of moments like that for you, haven't there?
I don't know. I don't know if there's been a lot, but, you know, I think that when they present themselves, I know enough now that I have to, like, follow through and not just sit there and, like, think about it. You know, there's no thinking. There's no time for sitting there and pondering. It's only time to act and just, you know, just go with it.
That's right. Yeah. I'm interested in this musical score you did for this film, The Definition of Insanity. Tell me about that, because that's real intriguing.
It's an independent film, and the person whose film it was came to me and said that they wanted me to use only two instruments to do the score with, and the two instruments were upright bass and saxophone. So I had to do all the cues for the entire movie and express whatever emotions I was trying to express throughout the movie with just the two instruments.
Wow. And this was out in 2002.
Yes.
Is it still available for folks to get?
Yes, it is. It's available. If you look it up online,
okay,
that you could find out where to get it.
And you had another opportunity I wanted to address. I love the idea that there was a track from you that was included on the Ladies of Jazz that was 2006 that also featured Natalie Cole and Candy Dulfer and some high-profile folks. How did that all happen, Paula?
I actually didn't even really know it was happening. This promoter that I had been speaking to from Poland had wanted me to come over there, and he gets involved in putting these compilations together for Warner in Poland, and I had sent him my CD, and he had chosen one of the tracks, and then sent me a notice that, you know, my record is coming out in November or whatever he said, and I was like,
wow.
Wouldn't I know if I had a record coming
yes.
out?
Right.
I don't really know anything about that. So then he told me what it was, and I got a copy of it, and it's a Cuesta Loeb. Carmen Cuesta Loeb is on it, Chuck Loeb's wife, and Eliana
yeah.
Elias, and it's a really nice collection.
So you definitely have to go to Europe, because there's a whole lot of people who know about Paula Atherton over in Europe because of that distribution over there, correct?
I guess so, and now, you know, they're doing a radio campaign in Europe also, as we speak.
That is so wonderful. Yeah. Well, it's what you deserve. You've put in a lot of dues and a lot of music, and you've played with a lot of people. What would you like to see happen to you now, We were just talking about this the other day. My God, we're halfway through 2012. For the rest of 2012 into 2013, what would be the coolest thing for you to see happen with your career?
You know, I'm just going to watch it and see where it goes. The title, Enjoy the Ride, is just about that very thing. It's a euphemism for recording. You know, loving the recording process and what you go through to put the record together, that's really what I think most musicians really, really enjoy, the whole process of, you know, the song is a seed and it starts and you have an idea and then it grows and then you start recording it and hearing it back and that whole process. And like I said, it's a euphemism for life, enjoy the ride. You know, you have to enjoy it while it's happening, you know, you can't predict anything that's going to happen, but many times you have no idea what's going to happen, so the thing is to just be present and enjoy it as it unfolds.
You're absolutely right about that, because, you know, sometimes when anybody asks that question, you're looking for a definitive answer. I'd love to get $1 million and be able to tour the world, or I'd love to be able to afford a house on the beach and drive a Maserati. But that is so important, to enjoy the process along the way. That stopping to smell the flowers needs to be so prioritized for all of us these days, because it's half the reason why we're stressful. We're looking for the pot of gold, and in actuality, it's the journey toward any pot of gold that gets misplaced, you know?
Absolutely. Everybody's so distracted and running around, and there's so many things to distract us.
Yeah.
That a lot of things just get passed over, you know?
You are absolutely right. I want to concentrate on your vocal, Can't Get You Out of My Mind. Is that okay with you?
Sure.
Okay. Just checking, because I think that probably what I'm going to wind up doing is I'm probably going to wind up playing a few tracks, maybe one more than I plan to, just so folks can get a feel of what Paula Atherton is all about. This is from Paula's CD, Enjoy the Ride. Can't Get You Out of My Mind, and I think you're going to feel pretty special after you hear the song on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Yeah.
Their total collective pleasure on that song, Paula Atherton. Can't get you out of my mind from Enjoy the Ride. Woo, that was nice.
Oh, thank you. There's a couple of, innocent type of emotions on this group of songs. And people could take it to mean whatever they want, whatever it means for their own life, but it's kind of about infatuation, you know? And I Won't Give Up can be about that also, or it could be, you know, about just something pertaining to a person's life and what they're dealing with. And I wanted to also mention that Let It Be and Try It Again are both about... trying to have, you know, positive vibes, like going forward. Both of those are written because of what's going on in the country these days, and, you know, people are having a rough time.
Yeah.
And they're about giving people some hope and, you know, some positive energy about dealing with what's going on.
And I do love it. You know, if somebody were to pick up this CD, and it's beautiful artwork, by the way. That's a beautiful picture of you on the cover holding your sax. And it just, when you turn the CD over, and wherever you're going to purchase this, from Amazon or wherever else it's available, but just to see these song titles, Let It Be, I Won't Give Up, Catch Me If You Can, Try It Again, Turn It Up. Oh, my gosh. You know, you're just going to feel good in knowing that what you're going to hear is going to make you feel better. So thank you for that, because every single one of these tracks did it for me.
Oh, wow. Well, that's quite a compliment, and I'm very happy about that.
Oh, you're going to get a lot of accolades, Paula, honestly, because it's so nice. Even though it's 2012, there are a lot of people who are still pleasantly surprised that females can be multi-instrumental, first of all, so that's always wonderful. And then you're a beautiful woman, and then you sing as well, so you've got this triple threat going on. And when you have that kind of, and I'm so glad that you pointed that out about the songs and their meaning, and just hanging in there, you know, have that hope in your heart. I truly believe that things are getting better and will get absolutely better. And if people can all collectively believe that, we're going to be okay.
I think so.
Yep.
I think
absolutely.
So.
All right, here's the surprise. Now that our hour is through,
you said in a prior interview that one of the little inspirations that you heard while you were coming up was Lambert, Hendrix, and Ross.
Yay!
Yes. Yes, you did. And
I'm sure that I did, because it's true.
No wonder. Man, and doing the research about this wonderful little triumvirate who got together in the mid-50s and turned out some stuff that people still cry about. And as a matter of fact, I wanted to tell you this. Annie Ross is 81 now.
Really?
Yeah. Yes. And
I know she's still performing, right?
She is. And she has a documentary that just came out called No One But Me about her journey. Part of that included heroin. And
yes.
Yes, it just came out and doing really well. And John Hendrix is still alive at the age of 81, 82. So when I heard that, it just tickled me because I thought, I love this girl. Because that was part of me growing up. You're younger than me, but you heard these songs and you gravitated to them. So I wanted to play Cloudburst. Did you?
I totally studied them. I learned Annie Ross's parts on every recording.
Oh, man. That is such a wild scenario. That's wonderful.
Well, they put words to actual horn solos. That's what they are. They're singing, you know, a Count Basie chart. And the solos they wrote words to. That's what they're doing.
Yeah, and apparently Count Basie was so thrilled because when they turned out Sing a Song of Basie, it did so well. It threw everybody off. And Count Basie went, whoa, let's try to help these kids out next time around. So they just grew in their popularity. It's an amazing little story. And then, when was it, 1966 or so, that Dave Lambert, was killed in the car accident. So they had this brief and shining time where they just were a jewel in jazz.
Yeah. Well,
awesome
at least
story.
There's recordings to document it.
Absolutely, and I'm so glad you gravitated to it. And I thought it would be cool. I know that I'm going to say goodbye to you because you've got a busy day, but I wanted to play Cloudburst and then go right into Sassy Strut.
I thought I was going to ask you if it was going to be Cloudburst. Okay, all right.
Yeah, oh, sure, yeah. Paula, thank you so much. It's been such a trip to – this hour has flown by.
I know. Maybe we could – again sometime. It was too much fun.
it really was. I would love it. Yeah, that would be cool to check in another few months or so and find out what's going on. And if I can still get you, because you are going to be doing a whole lot, and I know that you're ready for it. You are.
You can always get me. Just give me a call, and I'll be around.
Okay. Good, just like the Spinners from Philadelphia back in the day. Okay, cool.
Thank you again,
and we'll see you down the road. I'm going to check your schedule, and the next date you're going to do is what? Do you know that off the top of your head?
Yeah, I'll just run a really quick thing by you. I'm going to be at the Ivory Lounge in San Antonio, Texas, next Tuesday, July 17th at 7 o'clock.
Great.
And then I'm going to be August 1st in Melbourne, Florida for WGRV.
Oh, great,
and then
the
October,
groove.
Yeah, for the groove. And October 7th, I'm opening for the Rippingtons at the Duck Jazz Festival in North Carolina.
Oh, that is wonderful. Gosh, those are good dates. And please tell Randy Bennett, Randy and I used to work together in Vero Beach, Florida. Please tell him I send my love, and I really do miss him. And if I get a chunk of money between now and then, I'll see you at that WGRV function.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Great.
That would be awesome. Good girl. I am so pleased that you're getting the recognition that you deserve, and continued blessings to you, Paula, and we'll make sure that we keep in touch.
Thanks for all you do, Trish.
Thank you for all you do, and love to folks down the road, including, if you see her, Loretta Gaskins, who is a cousin to my friend Ray Gaskins, who's a saxophonist in Baltimore.
Well, you know, Loretta is on Can't Get You Out of My Mind and Let It Be.
I do know that. So it's just, you're an extended family piece because of that connection. You understand that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yep.
You got some great folks on this CD, no joke. And they're just going to be absolutely wonderful people to surround you, because they'll gravitate to you because you are so exceptional. So I don't even have to say anything. You're going to do fine.
Thanks so much for everything, Trish. I had so much fun. It was really great. Thank you.
Thank you, too. And we'll see you.
Yes, you will.
All right, Paula. Bye-bye.
Have a great day.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye.
She is so wonderful, and I knew she would be. And it just, you know what? You got to pay attention to how folks hit you when you initially see them. So when I got a chance to talk to Paula, there was just something that was so special about her. And people are noticing internationally. She was already successful, but now she's going to be even more so with Enjoy the Ride. So it's always a tickle to play an initial inspiration for someone. So here we are. Paula Atherton really dug Lambert, Hendrix, and Ross as she was coming up. And you just heard her say that she used to memorize Annie Ross's parts. This is a song called Cloudburst. This is from back in the day on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. And right afterwards, you're going to hear Paula with Nick Colleone on Sassy Strut. Woo! Love it. Here we go.
I was blue and I was always wearing a frown, because my gal had turned me down. Then we met and you could tell I knew from the first, you were my love, cause that's when the old gray now burst. My heart really blew the day you crossed my eyes. I hope that we do will never say goodbye. Clouds of gray and silver linings when they reverse, I found your love, and that's when the old gray cloud burst.
Tell you about your loving and your kissing and your hugging and your sweet turtle dove, pretty baby. I won't be satisfied till you play. Here comes the bride. Listen to me, baby, and I know me, maybe listen to my story. It's terrifically true. I want to find a way of telling that I really go for you. I hope you really believe me, baby, because you certainly do. Because you're telling me really, really silly when you tell me that you probably got a kind of crush on me. It moves me, proves me. How divine can one woman be? Oh, little darling, I'm really ballin'. You got me goofy and gay. I'm gonna get carried away. Just think you're gonna be mine someday. Oh, let's spin a little cycle, a little stop, a little cycle, a little live, a little stop, a little maybe, a little stop, a little baby. Every time you're always so near, nobody loves me like you do. Let's talk a little piece, a little pop, a little squeeze, a little cry, a little sigh, a little maybe I fly a little bit. Gonna tell you the truth, gonna love you when that's it. Cause I love you, baby, 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 with all my heart. Ooh, let's do me while I say a little, lot, a little lazy, get away, because I know, pretty baby, I know, pretty baby, I know you're the one. Yes, you're the one, I'm doing whatever you want to make you get this. Your life, don't ever leave me sitting there and really want to ruin the plot. Light as a breeze through the trees, boy. Pleasant as one summer breeze, boy. I'm a lucky lover, a lucky lover. I got the love you should discover.
I was blue and I was always wearing a frown, because my gal had turned me down. Then we met and you could bet I knew from the first you were my love, cause that's when the old day stopped first.
Take a look at me, boy. Take another look, take another look, take another look, take another good long look at me. I've opened my eyes and now I see.
Clouds of gray have silver linings when they reverse. I found your love, and that's when the old day stopped first.
This is Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Thank you.
That song is so good. Oh, my God. Just 9 minutes of just chilling to that tune. Hank Mobley, that hard-bopping sax man who did a number on all of us back in 1960. Soul Station on Blue Note. Soul Station, the name of that CD and the name of the track. Had to play some Hank Mobley. He was born on 7/7/1930. Passed away in 1986. And man, when you hear the good stuff like that, jeez, you just go back in time. I mean, I wish that I had the presence of mind to have appreciated these days and have that same enthusiasm to have lived then. Of course, I was just a little girl, but I really wish that I had just embraced more of it so I could have more of it in my bloodstream. Art Blakey, his former boss on that particular track on drums, two bandmates from his duration with Miles Davis, Paul Chambers, and Wynton Kelly, Bob Blumenthal, who was a jazz critic of the day, said that this Soul Station was one of the finest programs of music on Blue Note or any other label. Just a real choice stuff. Hank Mobley was part of the original Horace Silver and the Jazz Messengers, which, of course, became Art Blakey and the Jazz Messengers. But just one of those, to me, underappreciated guys on saxophone. Everybody else was paying attention to the stars of the day, but just that solid groove that makes you just almost weep. Woo! And by the way, this is Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy, lest you get it confused with any other radio show. It ain't just contemporary. It's not just straight ahead. It's both and everything that falls into those cracks in between. Just love the global stuff as well as the domestic. Love some of the funked up stuff. Loved some of the fused stuff and all of the vocals that fit, some vocals that may not necessarily, but it just seems to be the right thing to do at the time. Whew, glad I got that out. We heard Paula Atherton, and God bless that busy woman for spending an hour's worth of time with us. Oh, my goodness. She's just going to do so well with the CD. Enjoy the ride. You heard Sassy Strutt, that Nick Corleone had a hand in making magic with on that CD. Oh, I can't wait for those two to meet and bond, because that's exactly what they're going to do. So PaulaAtherton.com has all the information. She also has a Facebook page, so go look her up. We heard one of her inspirations to top off the set, the award-winning Lambert, Hendrix, and Ross. Group formed in 1957. What you heard was Cloudburst from a CD that was actually billed as the hottest new group in jazz. Oh, man, so awesome. Dave Lambert, John Hendricks, Annie Ross. John and Annie are still with us, 81 and 82, respectively, I believe. And if you get a chance to check out the documentary, No One But Me, it's about Annie Ross and her journeys back and forth with addiction and what happened early in her career and how she made her decisions after she left the group in 1962. Just an amazing story about this trio and about Annie. So there you go. Holy cow. So nice to be able to play some of this music and just revisit some of the folks that we visited a couple of months ago. Greg Hatza. And haven't I found out some things about Greg Hatza in the time he was last with us? He didn't talk about so much of this when he spent some time, but I have since found out that Greg Hatza has spent over 42 years in martial arts. He is considered to be one of the experts in kung fu. Yes! Well, here he is from 1997 from Snake Eyes. This is his take on a song that you've heard Eric Clapton do time and time again. But I just love Greg with that organization behind him. That was the name of his group, and that organ playing on Change the World. If you haven't ever heard this, feast your ears on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Thank you. Disease. Shouting tension
I'm telling you, that girl is just so brave. I'm proud of her. And, you know, I feel a little weird about saying that because I'm pretty mouthy about how old I am. And I'm not ancient, but, you know, with some of these acts, just like I told Paula Atherton a while ago, not my right to say, but I'm so proud of you. When a woman is courageous in the music industry, it just takes on a whole different tone because it's accepted that guys are. But when a woman steps out and does something different, she is going to get flack because, first of all, of her equipment. Let's keep it real. And secondly, there are some folks who might feel threatened. There are some folks who might feel as if she really didn't have the right to do that. But I think it's wonderful. Lisa McLowry is who we just heard. Brand new Hallelujah. If that song sounds familiar to you, it's because it's from the album called Get Ready. If you didn't hear Lisa on Cool Jazz Conversations last Monday, Lisa McLowry sings Acoustic Alchemy. So this was an idea that was formed by Lisa's longtime friend and musical partner, Jim Peterick, who has had such success in the music world and notably with Survivor and working with Asia, that amazing sound that you hear, and the whole album is like this. You know, at first I thought, I wonder if this is going to work. But the more I hear the refreshing positivity that is emanating forth from a lyrical content being put forth to Acoustic Alchemy songs, the more I really dig it. And this girl is so childlike in the way she approaches things. This breathtaking voice, singing with all her might and all of her gift, because she does have a gift. It's just something so unique. And look, if Acoustic Alchemy didn't like it, they would have never agreed to this. So here's the culmination of this. Tonight at 7:30, if you go to Lisa McLowry, and that is McLowry, you'll find out more. Our good friend from Philadelphia, Michael Tazzi, who had the Smooth Jazz Station back when it was on terrestrial radio, I can relate. Michael is doing this on his particular network, iGlobal Jazz. But you'll find out on Lisa McLowry's website. It's really wonderful, and it's just going to sound like something that you've not really heard, because honestly, some people will not allow themselves to be vulnerable artistically. Some people are very proficient technically, but allowing yourself to dance as she does and express herself and let that voice go like the angelic little bird that she is, man, something else. Brand new Hallelujah. Woo! Kirk Whalum, we heard, and that was from his Kirk Whalum Performs the Babyface Songbook CD 2005. Had to play that song because I'm feeling that tune, Exhale, the Shoop Shoop song. When you have friends who wish you well, there comes a point where you exhale. Love that song. On the vocal there, Melinda Doolittle from American Idol from a few years ago, one of the best voices on the planet. Just love the idea that she and her gospel brother Kirk Whalum got together for that particular journey. So nice. Kirk, by the way, is going to be, I have to mention this, at the John Coltrane Jazz and Blues Festival in High Point, North Carolina on the 1st of September. High Point had significance for John Coltrane. Spent a lot of time there, went to high school there. Of course, we claim him in Philly, too. But at this particular festival will be Kirk, Pancho Sanchez, and the Clark Duke Project. Now that, ladies and gentlemen, is a jazz festival and blues as well. I think Shamikia Copeland's going to be there. Oh, my goodness. That is something else. KirkWhalum.com has more information. Greg Hatza, we heard from Change the World, 1997's Snake Eyes CD. On Greg's Facebook page, so odd, I was just talking to EC3 Coleman the other day, found out that Greg and EC have played together fairly recently, which is a trip to conceive. Love that. Then I find out that Greg has spent over 42 years as a martial arts artist, and he does that as well as the Hammond organ that you heard so beautifully done on that particular track. But to know that he also is adept and is a teacher of Kung Fu and Tai Chi, and he actually has a title. Here he is. He's 63 this year, and he looks like somebody who is 40. He is buff. He is looking sexy. And that's how he has done it through the years. He really believes in living right. So I applaud him so much. And he wants me to come and join him in a couple of these sessions. And I have to do it because something's got to be done soon. Thank you so much for listening to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Again, thank you to Paula Atherton for stopping by. That was just so sweet. And we're going to get to more sweet right now because we're going to play some Chick Corea. And this is going to be one of those real tasty little segments of the show. And I know that my girls are looking forward to that because one of their favorite vocalists is coming up in this set. So get ready. We're going to start things off with Chick Corea's acoustic band from some years back. Someday My Prince Will Come on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Many go through this life all alone, in a world so divided by heartache and pain. All the lonely hearts love has never known. You can thank all your lucky stars from heaven up above. The love that you're feeling is true. When I opened my heart, I knew just what to do. And I finally came right back to you. Once and for all time, I found a love in you. Once and for dream come true. After all the rain, through the joy and pain, now I know that true love has answered my call once and for all. Find true love, all the heartache we put ourselves through. When I stopped chasing rainbows, I knew what to do. And at long last, it brought me back to you. Once and for all time, found a love in you. Once and for dream come true. After all the rain, through the joy and pain, now I know that true love has answered my call once and for all.
Chat room happy there. Daryl Walker on those soaring vocals from East Bay Soul 2.0. Greg Adams and company at their finest, once and for all. Now listen, I'm going to tell you about the feeling that I get when I hear that song. Honestly, if somebody was to remake or maybe borrow the idea or something animated on screen, this is the perfect movie song for that pivotal moment in the storyline where somebody has to face their moment of reckoning, and they got to go back to the forest, they got to go back to the jungle, they got to go back to the homeland, find their roots, and then proceed. And you can just feel it when Greg is doing the interlude with the trumpet there. You know, maybe there's some dialogue, and maybe there's some back and forth, a come to Jesus moment or two on the screen. And then it just soars into this triumph where all is right with the world. Of course, a happy ending. Daryl would get such a big kick out of that. But honestly, it belongs in a movie, doesn't it? Once and for all. Love it. Just so you know, folks, I know you're paying attention to what happens in Seal Beach when anybody of note is playing, certainly on August the 3rd and the 4th. East Bay Soul is going to be at Spaghetti's, or Spags, if you will. And I am trying to drum up support for getting a little entourage together to go to Scholars in Boston at the end of the year. So if you are thinking that maybe that might be a good idea, I want this New Year's Eve to be entirely different, entirely special. And I can't think of any other act that would be more special than seeing East Bay Soul on a stage collectively. Oh, my Lord. So jealous of the Brides of Funkenstein, because they're going to be seeing the guys in August at Spag. So we want our shot, too. I know I'm speaking for Griselda in Texas when I say that. We need to go see East Bay Soul, and we will somehow, some way. Lynn Roundtree is a whole nother story. Let us tell you what's happening with Lynn Roundtree. That was from Soul Tree, the Soul Jazz Experience. My favorite song on the album called Seasons, Kaylin's song with Gail Johnson on keyboard. So beautiful. Lynn is special because he's from Washington, D.C. That's his hometown, makes Detroit his hometown now. Did you know that he was going to be in the upcoming motion picture, the last project that Whitney Houston did, Sparkle? Yep, he's going to be on stage. Don't know how he got this gig, but that's okay because he sure belongs in a project like this. So wonderful. He's also going to be at Blues Alley in August. There's a lot happening next month as far as music is concerned. So maybe we'll get Lynn Roundtree to give us round two of what's happening in his life, because he's doing some great things. Oh, my. Setting Detroit on fire, that's for sure. But wasn't that a beautiful song? Oh, so fine. Chick Corea's acoustic band. Yeah, 1989, after doing some work with the Electric Band and Fusion, he decided to get back to a rootsier kind of vibe with Dave Weckl on drums and John Patitucci on bass, who is sharing some space with Chick Corea for a workshop that they're doing at the Berkshires in late August with Antonio Sanchez. ChickCorea.com has more information. He just celebrated his 71st birthday. I cannot believe the schedule that this man is keeping, including doing a trio with Jack D. Jeanette, who just celebrated his 70th birthday. They're doing some dates. And this is going to be so sweet. Chick will be with Gary Burton and the Harlem String Quartet. They're coming for a couple of dates later on this year. Can't imagine that little conglomeration doing their thing. Very exciting. Do you see where people are thinking outside the box? They're not doing the regular stuff that folks had been doing in the past several years. Folks are just bursting with creativity, just like Lisa McLowry. I'm just so happy to know that this is transpiring. And one guy that you never have to worry about as far as creativity, because his whole ethnicity is about creativity. You have an African-American saxophone player who's legendary, Dewey Redman. You have a Jewish mom who's into global dance, and parents get together and they infuse their kid with everything they've ever learned about different kinds of cultures, and you have Joshua Redman, who, when you go to his website, you're just caught up in the music on his webpage. He just can't help himself. He just oozes music. Always had, always will. And the intelligence of this cat is astounding. Not only does he have the expertise technically, he's got the feel, and he learned all of what he knows how to do right. This is one of those songs that you're going to remember. It's from Mood Swing from 1994. It's the Joshua Redman Quartet. I told you I was going to be full of saxophones today, and a song called Chill on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Woo!
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
is Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
I'm feeling mighty lonesome, haven't slept a wink. I walk the floor and watch the door, and in between I drink black coffee. Love's a hand-me-down brew. I'll never know a Sunday in this weekday. To the shadows, 1 o'clock to four, and Lord, how slow the moments go when all I do is pour black coffee. Since the blues caught my eye, I'm hanging.
Voices lately, just you know, from the past and from today, and hearing the emotion and hearing the clarity in these voices, just you know, you go through phases about what you want to hear as far as music is concerned. And of course, my tendency is to always listen to voices that lend themselves to jazz. Now, they might not be considered strictly jazz voices, but when you hear somebody who has that soaring passion and the technique that is just indescribable, and you merge those two together, such an amazing little miracle. And that's the case with Ella Fitzgerald, by God. Wow, is it ever. Ella Fitzgerald pretty much nailed a song that was written back in the 40s, Black Coffee. It was written by Sonny Burke, lyric by Paul Francis Weber, published in 48, and Sarah Vaughan charted with the song in 49 on Columbia. Peggy Lee released her version in 1953.
Now, Ella had an interesting little scenario because her version was on the soundtrack for the 1960 Columbia Pictures film, Let No Man Write My Epitaph. This particular version by Ella was a favorite song of the Polish Nobel Prize laureate, and I love to say his name, Wisława Szymborska, who chose it as the song to be performed at her funeral. So that's pretty heavy stuff, right? Ella Fitzgerald, Black Coffee. Oh, I could just listen to that groove all day long, as I could Weather Report. Woo! Mysterious Traveler, and a cut from their fourth album called Cucumber Slumber. And I had to play it because Joe Zawinul, his birthday was on July the 7th, 1932. Of course, he passed away in 2007. And when folks heard this particular compilation in 1974, they were just breathtook. Is that a proper word? Their breath was taken from them. It was a Downbeat Readers album of the year. Folks just loved this. Alfonso Johnson was new, playing bass with Weather Report, and drummer Ishmael Wilburn was new as well. And this just set a new tone for Weather Report. This was one of their standard-bearer sounds because it was all of the elements that people have come to love about Weather Report and still get buzzed on today and will forevermore. If you talk about some contemporary notions of jazz, this was one of those sounds that just blew people away. So if you want to get one of the definitive Weather Report CDs, get Mysterious Traveler from the mid-70s. Joshua Redman we heard from and his quartet. What a quartet. My God, he had the A-team there. Brad Meldow on piano, Christian McBride on bass, and Brian Blade on drums. Chill from Mood Swing from 1994. Amazing. Just to give you a little background on Joshua Redman, I was alluding to this before, but we're talking about a summa cum laude graduate of Harvard in 1991 and a Phi Beta Kappa frat guy and his BA in social studies. And he decides, yeah, well, maybe I'm not going to get that law degree that I was also thinking of. Maybe I really want to concentrate on what Dad did, the saxophone. Oh, thank God, Joshua Redman. And honestly, one of the more beautiful beings on the planet. If you ever see pictures of Joshua Redman, oh, my God. You know I am all about those cross-cultural lineages. Lord have mercy. When I see some of these guys with their eyes and their shaved heads, and you can see, like, different countries when you look at their face. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Gee, God made some beautiful flowers. Oh, my goodness. Let us go forward, shall we? We've got a few more songs to do, and I just wanted to kick it with this. We're all about saxophones today because Paula Atherton was our guest at the top of the hour. Just real nice to hear a woman know what she's doing with a saxophone and a flute, and vocals, by the way. But saxophones are what fueled me today. So I was thinking of my friend Jared, who has a story, in case you didn't hear. We'll talk about that after we hear this exceptional track. Every one of them is exceptional from Manhattan Nights, but there's something special about the title track. Let's go for it. On Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. This is my friend and yours, Jared, Manhattan Nights.
ya bop, shoo ya bop, shoo ya bop, shoo boo boo. Ba do ya doo dun doo ya doo dun doo ya doo dun doo ya doo dun doo be doo. Shaka ga doo ya boo be doo ba doo ba doo ya beep be bop be boop be ba. So we boo be doo ya bop, we boo be doo ya boop be boop be ya. Dee 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 boop boop be ba doo be. Sha ba ba dee be be ba doo be. I'm mad at you, pretty baby. Don't be mad at me. Shaba dilly a doo boo doo doo dee. Sean Malachi. Roy Haynes.
Talking about right there. Right there is what I'm talking about. Sarah Vaughan, woo, from the mid-50s, from the ultimate Sarah Vaughan, or if you want to dig back, if you can get a hold of Swingin' Easy, that's surely a bop. John Malachi on piano, Joe Benjamin on bass, and Roy Haynes, after having done stints with Lester Young, Charlie Parker, Miles Davis, and Milt Jackson, climbed aboard the sassy train and played drums. Man, was Sarah happy that he was there for 5 years. He was living large, got to feed his family, got to wear his threads. Roy Haynes on drums. Man, that's so nice. Sarah Vaughan, one of the best ever. Oh, I love that. Next to Brian Bromberg and a song that he wanted to make sure reflected that 60s big band sound. Did it ever. Title track to his new To That CD. Compared to That. Oh, my goodness. And you know what? There are a couple of other albums that you need to look for in the summertime. Because Brian, he just really has a record label who is very understanding, which is very understanding, about what he is trying to do. For whatever reason, in this chapter of his life, he is just being so creative. He's got out in the spirit of Joe Beam, and he also has Bromberg Plays Hendrix. I'm just the messenger. I'm not going to explain why, although a couple of months ago he was on Cool Jazz Conversations and he told Joy and I all about this little journey. But listen, first things first, get a hold of Compared to That. On it, among others, Randy Brecker, Bela Fleck, and Shaniqua's favorite, George Duke. So you know it's good. BrianBromberg.net has more information. Brian! Jared, we heard from as well, My Voice Breaks, Manhattan Nights. Let us tell you that Jared has had a week or so. And before I forget, he's going to be out and about tonight at a place called The Bottom Line in Clinton, Maryland. If you are listening to this live or you hear it in the archives in the next couple of hours, Attila Molnar is with him. Also, Andreas Holmstrom, visiting from Sweden on bass and vocals tonight in Clinton, Maryland. Let us just tell you what happened to Jared, okay? Jared has Pepco, the electric company where he lives in Maryland. It wasn't a happy pairing in the past week because that big storm came last Friday and it nuked a couple of trees on Jared and Connie's property. The trees fell, shrubbery was in the driveway, live wires came down with the branches. So they had live wires. They had power, but they wanted Pepco to come to please. They didn't want any kids in the neighborhood to come into the area and lose their lives. Connie and Jared got to their wits' end. I don't know how many times they called Pepco. A couple of times, Pepco hung up on them. So finally, a friend reached out, and CNN was contacted. Jared and Connie had an interview with Don Lemon on CNN. Don's completely sympathetic to their plight. Then the local folks started to pay attention. One of the D.C. outlets contacted this wonderful but distraught couple, and they said, okay, let's put you on the local news and find out what happens. Well, to make a longer story shorter, because time is approaching and we have to leave, let us say that there were, what, 8 to 11 Pepco trucks that showed up at Connie and Jared's place. And it really is true, as our Beej says in the chat room, you have to get hostile. You have to put it out there before anybody responds. And isn't that sad? Connie was so good that she posted signs in English and Spanish so that all children, if they came upon this potentially dangerous scenario, because guess what? You couldn't tell that the wires were live inside the debris. And then they were trapped because they really couldn't get access to their car. So they were tearing their hair out. And Jared can't afford to have any hair torn out. No, I'm just kidding. He has a great, healthy set of follicles on his head. So there's the story. And now, you know, things are okay. And he got some publicity because the D.C. station wanted Jared to play the saxophone. So you know that there are gigs coming out of this. Just love it. There's always a silver lining when you look at things, right? Of course there is. Thank you so much for listening today to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Just a wonderful first hour with Paula Atherton. Please pick up Enjoy the Ride. Paula Atherton, atherton.com, has more information. We believe that come Thursday, the multimedia artist Randy Everett will be coming our way. Not only superior in the way of his music, just breathtaking, creative, jazz and new age combined, but also his artwork is truly superior. So he's going to have a fascinating little tale, and he has his own studio that does exceptionally well. So he gets pretty reclusive sometimes. We're going to pull him right out. Pull him right out! And then next week, anxious for you to hear another female named Bridget Zeri. She's wonderful. And so are you for joining us, whether you're listening live, Griselda and Beej. Thank you so much, and our guests who have come back and forth today. Thanks again. Be safe, and we'll talk to you next time around. God bless.